one thing is for sure, you need to know what you're doing when applying for a job. You need to sell yourself properly. And there's never been a better time to, I suppose, get yourself in shape for the interview. Liam Moran is a career consultant with Sleenua Careers. Hello, Liam. Are there any jobs?
Yes, of course there are jobs. I mean, there aren't as many as there were, but we all know people in jobs, and we know people who are changing jobs and getting good news. So, you know, it's easy to become pessimistic and believe that there are no opportunities out there, but there are still things happening. And if people start from the starting point that there are no jobs, well, it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy then. So I think people need, as you know, I'm not in a way underestimating the extent of the difficulties out there in getting jobs, but you need to stay positive and believe that there are jobs. And listen to stories of people who are getting jobs. You know, there are people still landing jobs and getting going.
Yeah. I mean, people are leaving the country too as well, and that's fair enough if that's what they choose to do or feel they have to do. I spoke earlier to an agency that's looking for nannies and teachers in Russia, and she says it's Ireland that they're specifically looking at. I mean, again, people may have to go through an interview process will be useful. Now, Lee, looking for work at the moment.
First of all, the first point of contact by your CV, and people really need to have a very good CV. We encounter lots of very good candidates with bad CVs, and that's a real kind of a miss because, you know, they've got the ability, they've proven they can do it, or they've got the academic qualifications, but their CV undersells them. And I know this phrase undersells is a very abstract concept, so what people need to be doing is, you know, getting the top half of the first page of their CV, looking upon it as like an overview, an introduction to themselves, where they outline their key skills, their achievements, their attributes, their aspirations, what value they can bring to the company. And typically what people do with the first half of their CV is tell the story of their life in a very predictable, starting education, moving on to work way. And the employer can get bored very easily, particularly if they're going through a lot of CVs, as they tend to be now. So we would recommend to people, put your strong stuff at the start of your CV. You know, if you won an award 7 years ago, make sure that's in the top part of your CV, not buried away on page two. So a phrase we would use is that relevance is more important than chronology in your CV. People tend from school to learn all about chronology in a CV and slavishly follow that as they write their CV, whereas we would say pick the things from your career, be it work, sporting, academic, yeah, and bring those to the top. So not unlike what news journalists understand by the inverted pyramid, bring the news to the top, bring the good stuff to the top so the employer can see it early on.
Yeah, and the other thing is keep it short and don't be going into two and three pages. One or two's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, when you go beyond two, you really need to be questioning why you're going there.
Yeah.
It's not war and peace. And people sometimes think that the more they add to their CV, the more they cover off the points. But in fact, there's a danger that A, the employer will just get fed up reading so much, and B, that you'll obscure your best stuff. So again, we must go back to write down the five or six things you have for the job you're going for, and put those very early on in your CV so that they hit the employer in the face.
I mean, people can be quite insecure, you know, particularly if they haven't done well academically, they might be quite insecure in writing a CV or getting somebody to help them with a CV. But you'd always be saying to people, there are good things you can put on a CV.
Yeah, it's often our own hardest critics when it comes to seeing your skills. A classic one, Woody, who has worked in the construction industry maybe for 20 years, may not have the academic qualifications that others have, and the construction industry has suffered a downturn. Now, typically that person, when they look to transfer to sales or to other areas they might work in, fail to see how they transfer their skills. And we would say to people, stand back from the really hard skills. If you were a plasterer, for example, and you know, you spent the last 20 years plastering, okay, plastering is no longer a skill that you're going to use in your next career, but the whole area of scheduling work, managing pricing jobs, interacting with customers, all of those are transferable skills that you must see this at a broader level than just the in-close hard skills you used on
the job. Yeah, I was responsible for this amount of staff, I was responsible for orders, all of that.
Yes.
So you're showing that your talents, not just your plastering talents, but all the other talents that you have. Sometimes we need somebody else to point them out to us, though, don't we? I mean, that's the thing, Liam.
Yes, exactly. And we are frequently, particularly if you're going through a bad time, you've been out of work for a while or whatever, you can get quite negative, get in on yourself, as they say, whereas somebody looking in from the outside, which could be a friend, or frequently not a friend, somebody, a friend of a friend rather than a friend sometimes, can see things clearer, can often put us in categories and not allow us to escape from them, whereas somebody else might see your skills much more sort of independently or from bias, and it's important to get that. And you know, there are lots of training programs available through various agencies which would promote that in terms of getting you to write down what your skills are and getting somebody beside you to think what your skills are. And once you start that discussion with yourself, so to speak, you'll be amazed how you start seeing things differently. And you know, if you don't present yourself proper employer, don't rely on the employer to be being a talent spotter.
All right. Now,
you need to put it in front of them. If they need to know what you have, you've got to tell them. Don't expect them to divine it.
Is this the way of the future? Will you hear this one? I was thinking of recording myself and adding the video to my CV. Do you think it's a good idea?
Absolutely. I think it's anything that's... The whole area of job searching is becoming more nuanced and complex than ever before. If you can do a nice video, the phrase I use for that is do the interview before you do the interview. It'll help you get past the other two or three or four dozen people going for the job.
Do people do that?
Yes, and people have all sorts of creative things going on. They should Google, people could go to YouTube and search for David Wogan, HubSpot, or go to search for my name, Liam Horan, and Stephen Cleary, and the journal.ie, and read. There's all sorts of articles out there about people who are doing all sorts of things.
Such as?
Well, David Wogan wanted to work with a top international marketing company called HubSpot. He was in New York, in Boston, so he created a very entertaining video, which effectively is like a marriage proposal, and ends up with him on the knee outside the HubSpot with the ring box and to give me a job.
Brilliant.
Or employ me.
Brilliant.
And actually, he got to meet what he called two of his marketing, I think icons was the phrase, or heroes, the phrase he used, from HubSpot. Actually, there's a problem with an American visa for him of the HubSpot employing him, but they have talked to him about being involved in a Dublin office they're hoping to set up in the new year. So it got him right past, I would say, hundreds if not thousands of people who are all doing much the same thing, sending in a good, bad or middling CV. He did a video CV or a video proposal or proposition, an almost seduction scene you could call it, and it got past the defences. And I've seen lots of stuff like that. That's becoming more and more popular.
But don't be daft.
No, you don't build gimmicks. For gimmicky sake, it has to be a base underneath it, so there has to be some connection between what you're saying. Actually, the David Wogan one is very, very interesting, because HubSpot specialize in what they call inbound marketing, and which makes the customer ring you. And David approached trying to get a job with HubSpot as an inbound marketing campaign.
Wow.
HubSpot ring him, and I think that's what happened, for which he did make serious contacts there.
Yeah, my nephew, hugely intelligent, very bright, but lacks social skills big time. I think that's why he's failing at interviews. Please advise.
Yeah, interviews are an awkward environment, and some people find them very hard to get their heads around.
Intimidating. I mean, it's kind of very intimidating for some people.
It can. You know, you have 40 minutes there, maybe that could determine the next few years of your life. We work one-on-one with people to do interview training by Skype or face-to-face, and what we constantly get them to do is prepare. They need to write down what you're looking for. And when they've written down, write it down again, and write it down again, and start with the employer. What is this employer looking for? When you've ascertained the 9 or 10 or 11 things you're looking for, then in the same piece of paper, write examples that show you have what they're looking for.
How do you know what they're looking for?
Well, you can get it by the job spec, you can get it by the advertisement, you can get it by talking to people in the company, by Googling requirements of salesperson or whatever, and you can, there are lots of sources. You can discern as well that, well, they would want somebody with these attributes, wouldn't they, because this person is dealing with people, so communication skills or presentation skills or PowerPoint. So, and you know, when you put your mind to it and you think about it deeply, you will come up with power.
All right. I've been a housewife for 28 years and now have an interview on Thursday for a retail outlet. I've never worked on tills. I don't know anything about computers. Could Liam please advise me how I can handle the interview, considering my lack of experience?
What I would say to that lady is not to deny their lack of experience. Don't go in and claim that she's an expert on tills or computers. She's got to identify what she can bring to that business. And if she hasn't got those ideals, which can be learned, attitude, good with people. Go in and talk about that, about our attitude, about being good with people, about
but
being friendly.
But tills aren't usually a massive issue, are they, Liam?
No. Companies, enlightened companies hire for attitude.
Yeah.
And train later if necessary.
They'll teach you.
Yeah, so she's got to see why does she think she'd be good at that job, and go in and tell them that. And even if they don't ask the questions, almost she needs to give that information anyway. At some point, say, "I'd like you to know, I'm very good with people. I remember people's names. I'm very understanding or discreet, which is important in a shop situation." And give them the stuff she's good at. And if she hasn't got the IT skills and somebody else has and wins it on that basis, you know, there's nothing she can do. But go in and sell her best stuff to that employer.
Yeah, I was expecting you to say great advice, you know, about the people being able to remember names. That's an excellent point, you know. It's saying things as well that, you know, at the end of the day, employing somebody to work with the public, that you want them to be good at communicating. You want to be good with people.
Yes, and, you know, while she might feel a little bit iffy about this interview on Thursday,
yeah.
Don't forget the employer has a problem as well. The employer has 6 or 7 people coming into them on Thursday. Find the best person as well. So make it easy for the employer. You know, and I'd say in a retail situation, people skills are crucial. You know,
right.
So if she's involved in local organisations, if she knows people, all that kind of thing, let them see that.
Okay.
And have a go. You know, don't go in beaten. Have a go.
Okay. People calling in about PO boxes, just don't like PO boxes. And another person who says, "I was surprised." At how few applied for a job that I had advertised. Well, on the PO boxes first, it's a kind of a sensitive area.
It is, but we are living in a buyer's market, so employers can set the rules of engagement. I can understand why employers PO boxes as well on occasions. They don't want existing customers to know they have a job to give them, feel under a compliment to them.
Actually, it could be anybody. That's what I don't like about it.
Yes, but it is a reality of the of where we're at right now, you know. The second point is interesting. There are lots of employers out there still who say they don't get the quality of application they're looking for. And I don't believe that the people aren't good enough. I believe the people's CVs aren't good enough. A recruiter I spoke to about a year and a half ago, and he's estimated 70% of CVs undersold people. So if people want a general piece of advice today, would be to get somebody who they trust or who works in recruitment or works in a hiring situation in companies to look critically at their CV.
Okay.
And start from there.
Liam, it's great advice you're offering. And if people want to get more on the advice and get more about careers with your group, where do they go?
They go onto our website, slinuacareers.com, slinuacareers.com. And I would say, Sean, that every Wednesday at 6:30, we have an online interview training workshop, which is free of charge.
Oh.
So if people just email getthatjob@sleenewackareers.com and just put a note in saying, "Please tell me more about the online workshop," we will send them back information. So that's a 45-minute workshop where we go through the basis of interviews, right, and how you can improve at it.
We're going to, Liam, put it up on our Facebook for people.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us.
Okay, Sean, thanks yourself.
Liam Horan there, career consultant with Slee Newer Careers, and we'll have that on Facebook, Sean Doherty Show, in a wee while, if you're interested in finding out more.